All right, if you have your Bibles, find, if you would, the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. We're going to start there. Very different kind of message tonight, very different style. I actually want you to have a pen. Find a pen. You got to have a pen. If you don't have one, there should be one in the pew in front of you. Borrow it. Borrow it. Okay? You're going to need something to write on, so I suggest that you use your bulletin from this morning. If you don't have your bulletin from this morning, then use a piece of paper that you do have. If not, there should be an offering envelope in the pew in front of you. Pay for it. Okay? But get it. Everybody has one. You're going to school tonight. You're taking a course. I'm giving you some truths tonight that will piggyback off of the message from this morning. But I think these are things that will help you and you will need. Have you ever been in a situation where you said something but you could not back it up? Not physically could you not back it up, but you could not back it up with information. Especially as a Christian, sometimes we find ourselves stating truth, and we know enough to make an initial statement. But if somebody challenges our statement, or somebody doesn't believe our statement, or somebody asks us to prove our statement, then we're like, you have to go ask the pastor. Okay, well, I don't want to always be in that place. And so I want to help us tonight with some ammunition, is the only word I can come up with, some backup points, some next statements that have to do with the Word of God. I preached this morning that the Word of God is truth, and we believe that. Amen? Okay, so for a illustration, and everybody will participate in the illustration, I hope and pray. Take that pen, take that piece of paper, and I want you to pretend that I don't agree with your statement. Pastor, the Bible is the Word of God, and it is true. I don't believe that. Now take your pen, take your paper, and write me three things you would say back to me. Don't look at me. I don't have six eyeballs. Write down here on your paper. Three things. Three statements. Give me three reasons why, or follow-up statements. If you're having a conversation with me and you say, hey, because the Bible says, well, I don't believe the Bible and the Bible's not true. So you give me three reasons why you would come back at me. Three statements. I feel like humming the Jeopardy tune. All right. You have them written down, yes or no? How many got three? Okay, you're honest people. Two or three of you raised your hand. All right. Okay, if I promise that I will not ask you to give me your three, how many got three? Same people. How many got two? Two statements. One? All right, Pastor, I had a hard time coming up with a statement. Anybody have a hard time? Okay. Awesome. Awesome. All right. So I want to give you some reasons tonight and kind of follow-up statements when you find yourself in a conversation. Just that will enable you to take the next level in this conversation. And so you don't get shot down or run home with your tail between your legs. Let me show you first a truth here. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. And I want you to look at verse number 6. But without what, class? Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Really and truthfully, when it comes down to the final analysis, man must believe the word of God to be true by faith. Nobody can totally dictate or mentally explain or bring anybody to that kind of position on the word of God. If you're going to believe God, you're going to do it by faith. But sometimes you will need some reasons that will help support or direct that faith. Bible faith is not blind faith. It's not just some leap in the dark. Bible faith is a confidence in a believing that God has left us a record or a written word of God that we can believe. And so I want to give you about 7 statements that I want you to write down. And Lord willing, these will be some secondary statements that you could use in a conversation. You could use as you approach. I promise you, after this message, you're going to need these. God's going to put you in this opportunity. So the first thing I would write down if I was you and somebody, and I wanted to give root reasons or time-proven reasons why we can have complete confidence in the Bible, the first thing is because of the Bible's author. Write that down. Because of the Bible's author. Now, go to 2 Peter chapter number 1, or write 2 Peter chapter number 1 down there. We've had this in our lesson on Wednesday nights, but I'm going to read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 21 tells us that the prophecy or the word of God came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so, who is the author of the Bible? God is. The Holy Spirit is. All right? Now, men wrote this down, and these were godly men. These were men that had testimonies of righteousness. These were men that gave their lives and died as evidence to the truth of God's word. These were not men that believed cunningly devised fables. We have a history of men that have given their lives for the truth of the word of God, all the way back to the original men that penned the word of God. And so one of the reasons that you can have confidence in the word of God is because of the holy men of God that penned the Holy Spirit's message. This Bible did not come from man. It came from God. All right? Now, you should write down 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. The Bible teaches that all Scripture is given by inspiration. All right, so the Bible is, that word inspiration is God-breathed. And so in 2 Peter, it talks about how holy men of God spake as they were moved, or they were directed, or they were guided along in penning the word of God. Now, the second reason that you should write down is because of the unity of the Bible. The unity of the Bible. All right? So, I don't know if you know this, but let me give this to you. There are how many books in the Bible? 66. How many men? Over 40 men were used to write the Word of God. The Word of God was written at a period of over 1,500 to 1,600 years. And yet, from Genesis chapter 1 all the way to Revelation chapter 22, there is no contradiction in the Word of God. And it is amazing, because of the time factor that it was written, there was no possibility of collusion or collaboration. Very few of the men of God, men that wrote the Bible, even knew each other. Some did, but very few of them. So you have a book that was written over 1,500 years, penned by some 40 different men, and there's wonderful unity in the Word of God. My friends, that's miraculous. And the reason that is because of the author of the Bible. Those men wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And so we have the Bible that is inspired by God, which means it's infallible and it is inerrant. Now, let's just be sure we understand what we believe here. We believe that we hold in our hands an inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. If you believe that, say amen. All right, so you've got all kinds of versions out there, and that's a message for another time, but what God did was God inspired those men to write those original passages. Then what you have is you have the promise of God from Psalm chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, that God would preserve His Word. Sometimes people get overly excited about the King James Bible and they want to say that the King James Bible somehow has a special inspiration upon it. It doesn't have a special inspiration upon it. The Word of God is inspired, but God preserved His Word, and we believe that for the English-speaking people, the way that God has preserved His Word is through the King James Bible. That's why we use the King James Bible. And so you can say honestly in your hand, I hold an inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God that is true. And the support for that would be because of the sincerity of the Bible's authors, because of the unity of the Bible. Pastor, people tell me that there's problems and contradictions in the Bible like crazy. My suggestion for you is buy them a Bible and hand it to them and say, show me. Show me. Well, they're going to go and they're going to look through or whatever. Just tell them, hey, show me the contradiction. Well, I got to go ask the pastor. Well, this pastor believes that there are no contradictions in the Word of God. Okay? All right. So, number three. Another support statement for you would be because of fulfilled prophecy. Fulfilled prophecy proves the Bible to be the Word of God. And we talked about this morning. I don't know how many thousands of prophecies there are in the Word of God, but you can check off those prophecies that have been fulfilled, and any prophecy that's outstanding will be fulfilled. And so you've got men that made statements hundreds and thousands of years prior to those being fulfilled, but they were fulfilled right down to the jot and tittle. And especially those statements when it comes to Jesus Christ alone. Jesus was prophesied that He would be born of a virgin. Was He? Yes. He was prophesied He'd be born in Bethlehem, and He was. It was prophesied that He would be crucified, and He was. It was prophesied that He would rise from the dead, and so on. So you can take all of these prophecies and seeing them fulfillment. Yeah, but the average guy's going to say that's coincidence. Okay. There's no such thing as coincidence with God. All right. And any person who wants to take the position of coincidence upon the Word of God is basically directly denying the authority of the Scripture, and you're not necessarily going to convince them. You got to pray for them and let them work on it. But for us, it's evidence and proof that we can trust the Word of God. Number four, another reason that you can trust the Word of God and have complete confidence in it is because of the Bible's power to change lives. The Bible's power to change lives. Endless line of men and women from every time and culture can stand and testify of the power of the Bible to convert from sin and to give new spiritual life. And many of us in this room can testify to this. The Bible is the living Word of God. So when you want to defend the Bible, or you want to make a statement to somebody, hey, the Word of God is true. Well, I don't believe that. How do you believe it's true? It changed my life. If it changed your life, say amen. Now, the Bible is bold. The Bible does not have any fear. So the Bible makes some very bold statements. And the Bible really, really teases or lures and wants somebody to try the Bible or to prove the Bible. The Bible invites the hearer or the reader to partake of spiritual realities. For example, the Bible will say, taste and see the Lord is what? Good. And by the way, if you've tasted and saw him, you know he's good. Amen? All right. So the Bible will say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Jesus said, I dare you, come to me and see if I don't give you rest. It's bold in its proclamation. Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. The Bible says, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. He that believeth on the Son of God hath this witness in himself. Believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The Bible makes promises that it is able to back up. And it changes our lives. Many scoffers have become believers. Many thieves have become honest. Many harsh have become kind. And you can have confidence in the Word of God because it has the power to change life and because it should have changed your life. All right. So don't back away from the Word of God. And whenever somebody says, well, you can say that, but I tried it and it didn't work. Who's wrong? Learn to take some body shots. If you've been married any length of time, you understand that statement. Learn to take some body shots. We run so quick. So we make a statement about the Word of God and somebody says, well, I tried that and it didn't work. So you know what I tell them? Well, you tried it wrong. Well, what do you mean? I said, well, what you're telling me is that God is wrong and you're right? You're telling me that you did something and God didn't keep his word? You're telling me that you did what the Bible said and the result was different? How is that possible? If that was true, you're the only person that's ever happened to. Usually they back down and pretty soon realize they didn't do it right. All right. So I guess one of my main purposes tonight is to kind of strengthen your backbone a little bit and understand we're on the victory side. We have the truth. And the world growls and they snare and they make statements. But the average Christian isn't have the support. They don't have the resource to come back and answer the charge. What do I say about that? And I love you and you love me, right? But that's a shame that we couldn't write on our paper. Well, Pastor, if I had more time, I could have done it. Well, you don't have more time on the street. They come and you got to give an answer and you got to give an answer and you got to give an answer. And so it behooves us as believers to be ready and prepared. Number five, the Bible, one of the reasons you can have confidence in it is because it's a living book. It's a living book that improves or changes the quality of our life. Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 13 is a wonderful and powerful verse. You probably know this verse. If I had some confidence in myself, I'd quote it, but I'm going to look it up. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13 says, verse 12. For the word of God is, anybody know that word? Quick or living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And so the Word of God is a living, powerful, piercing book. Let it talk. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Let the Word of God speak. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean this. When you're in conversations, now don't take this to the extreme, okay? You're not a robot. But when you're in conversations, you want to be sure to give people the Word of God. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak the oracles of God. Let all men be liars, but God be what? True. So there's power in the Word of God. I've also found it's very helpful to use Bible language. Okay? So, I don't want to use that illustration. Don't use slang. We're quick to use slang, and we'll use slang to describe culture or slang to describe sin. If you want to describe homosexuality, call it what the Bible calls it. Abomination, sodomy, whatever, but use those. If you want to call sin, sin, don't use the slang. Use what the Bible says. Let the Bible speak. And then when you give people the Word of God, trust it. They may recoil from it. They may not want it. And that doesn't mean you're just a robot and you're just quoting Scripture like a machine gun to them. You can't do that. But you don't have to defend the Word of God. Just give it to them and let the Spirit of God work on them. Let the Bible ring in their heart and their mind. And pray that God will take that seed that has been planted and that He'll begin to water that. Now, if you're going to speak the Bible, you got to know the Bible. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. So. You just trust that when you give the Word of God, the promise was, my word shall not return void. You don't have to sit there and defend everything. And they may say, well, I don't believe it. I understand, but that's the Word of God. And the Bible says this. And just stand upon it. Be sufficient. And don't sugarcoat the Word of God. The moment you add a word, or the moment you subtract a word, either you add a word or subtract a word to kind of soften, to kind of be delicate, to kind of do something, you and I don't have a right to do that. And the moment you add and the moment you subtract, you then have made that your word, not God's word. And there's more power in the Word of God than our word. And you're always going to be tempted. So even when I preach, and we're family, so I'll let some of my secrets out. If you listen to me when I preach, I'll say things like, listen, I love you. If you're here, you've come to a place where we love the Word of God, and I know what you're hearing is difficult, but this is the Word of God. I may be tender in my approach, but I will not subtract or add a word to the Word of God. We do not have the right to do that. Okay. So the Bible is a living word, and has power. Number whatever, six. Thank you. Another statement or another bullet you can put in your gun is that the Bible's universal appeal, proves that it is the Word of God. I mean, it's written over all of these years. It was written mostly from an ancient Middle Eastern culture, yet the Bible speaks intimately and with perfect relevance to people in every part of the globe. Listen, this Word of God is great for America. It's relevant for all of the nations. It's relevant for all of the cultures. It's relevant for in our history. It'll be relevant in our future. It's been relevant from the creation of man to the redemption of man. There's the Bible is a timeless book. Well, you people believe the Bible. Don't you know that the Bible's out of date? The Bible's never out of date. Well, don't you understand that's good for you white Americans, but that doesn't work over there somewhere else. Or that's good for down in some jungle or over in some European place or whatever, but that's just regional. The Bible's not regional. The Bible is universal. Okay? So understand that it has relevance to every people, to every culture, to every tribe, to every nation, to every problem. The Bible is relevant. Do you believe the Bible to be relevant? OK, Okay. Number seven, our last one, would be the accuracy of the Bible. The accuracy of the Bible proves that it's the Word of God. Now, enemies have tried to disprove the Bible, and they want to point out its errors, and they want to try to work up and make up some kind of deal, but the Bible is accurate. Sometimes you're going to run into something you don't understand, but that doesn't mean the Bible's wrong. And sometimes when somebody opens up a Bible, they might be able to show you where in one section it says something, in another section it says something else. Don't get intimidated by that. If you don't understand it, just look at them and say, you know what? I don't know what to say about that other than I know that this is a perfect word of God and somehow there's a reason for that and I'm going to go find out the reason. Amen. And then you go and you find out the reason for it. But it's an accurate word of God. If you ever run into anybody and they think they've found a contradiction in the Bible, run from them. If you run into somebody who thinks they found a contradiction in the Bible, run from them, especially if they're inside this church. Amen. Okay? Now, I need your help. I'm one man. I can't protect this whole place. I can't protect people coming in and saying things. I can't protect people coming in the back door and kind of spewing out whatever. I can't protect every classroom. I can't protect every situation. So we need to work together. And so if you're in this place and you hear somebody and they're trying to defeat or disprove the accuracy of the Word of God, your spidey sense ought to go off. Okay? And there should not be the entertainment of their garbage. Pastor, don't we have to be nice to everybody? Well, where did you read that in the Bible? We don't have to be nice to everybody. In the 10 years I've been the pastor here, there have been times that I have not been nice. And I would say something like this: what you're saying is against this word of God. You're not welcome here. And then I make it so they don't come. If somebody's going to consistently come in here and challenge the authority of the Word of God, did you know that we have the right to determine who comes on our property? And so if they want to come in and listen and be taught, that's one thing. If somebody's going to infiltrate us and try to deny the accuracy or the authority of the Word of God, that mindset is not welcome at Plantation Baptist Church. We love the Word of God. Amen. Okay, now I can't be the only one defending this, man. So you got to help me a little bit. You got to help me inside these classrooms. You got to help me as people talk. Now, people can have questions. Don't come to me and say, hey, this guy's got a question. I ran him out the back door. No, don't do that. But if somebody comes in and says, hey, I just don't think I believe the Bible, or I don't believe the way that is, or this or that or something, spidey sense needs to go off, all right? So hopefully you've written these seven things down. Hopefully you've got some statements now that you can back up your truth, that you do believe the Word of God is true. You do believe that God is the keeper of all truth. You do believe that there's confidence in the Word of God. Now, I have found this, and I'll close with this. Normally, what happens in my life, when I anchor my confidence on the Word of God, something happens to me. And it's a boldness that begins to develop. And, man, I have fears just like you have fears. I have fears about what people think or what people say or how this is going to play out or what's going to happen here. I'm just as human as you are. But I have found that as I begin to stand and anchor on the Word of God, and as I begin to give the Word of God, the Word of God begins to develop a boldness and a confidence in my life that also brings about a steadfast peace. When you put your confidence and you anchor your life and your home and your position and your direction on the Word of God, you will find that great peace will come into your life. Amen? And so don't run or ignore the most precious gift apart from salvation that we have in the Word of God. This is the inspired, inerrant, infallible, perfect Word of God. Amen? Amen. All right, I hope that helps. Let's pray.